internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Good evening and welcome to the Sports Maverick Show with the Oprah of Sports, Ida Moyet. Now, the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome to the Sports Maverick Show, where we redefine the elite athlete by bringing education, athleticism, and community service together. We bring fun back to sports and make it part of family entertainment. We lay the foundation for excellence as we help parents navigate the challenges of playing sports from high school to the pros. I am Ida Moyer, your host, and this is the Sports Maverick Show. Well, today we would like to dispel some of the myths out there regarding steroids. Recently, there's been a lot of controversy about whether or not steroids is rampant in today's sports. Well, clearly, we have some people that have been charged and alleged to have actually used steroids. But steroids is a very dangerous game. You may have heard steroids called roids, juice, hype, or pump. Anabolic steroids are powerful prescription drugs that some athletes use not for medical reasons, but as a way to boost athletic performance and to build muscle and body mass. But steroids always causes a bad side effect. Now, since the 1950s and the 60s, when steroids first came on the scene, there was just a certain kind of things that developed regarding whether or not the drug is addictive, whether or not you have to maintain it if you go through withdrawals. Well, I'm not an expert on this. I thought it was very important for us to bring an expert in here who is very close and personal to this to answer some of your questions. So today, our special guest is Bernard A. Griesmer, M.D. He is a fellow of the Academy of Pediatrics. And again, let me give you some of his background before I introduce him to the forum here. Number one is that he is a pediatrician with a subspecialty certification in sports medicine and has been on the American Academy of Pediatrics National Committee Council on Sports Medicine and Fitness since 1994. In addition, he was an associate editor of textbooks on pediatric sports medicine that actually dealt with primary care, and he is the author in the chapters in several of these textbooks dealing with youth athletes in regard to performance-enhancing substance and young athletes. In addition, he was the doping control crew chief, chief for the United States Olympic Committee National Anti-Doping Program from 1991 until it was phased into the current United States Anti-Doping Program, where he has served up until 2004. He was also on the doping control staff for four Olympics, Atlanta, Nagano, Sydney, and Salt Lake, including his appointment for Sydney Games to the International Olympic Committee Medical Commission as Medical Commission Representative. And just to go a little bit higher in the food chain dealing with this for the doping control, he has been at the forefront of this whole issue, and he actually testified at the original United States Senate hearings on steroid use in professional baseball and anti-doping issues in amateur sports. Now, if that's not enough of experience here, I'm telling you, who could be more experienced? But currently, he still stays involved in the fray. He is the chairman of the board for the Springfield Community Olympics Development Program, one of the nine or so programs, United States programs that are out there for the Olympics that is placed around the United States. And he is covering some of the sports like, you know, U.S. tennis, U.S. weightlifting, USA volleyball, U.S. ice hockey. And again, there's a firewall between what he's done on the doping control to where he is now. But it doesn't take him too far away from his knowledge. So at this time, I'd like to welcome Dr. Bernard to our show. Welcome to our show, Dr. Bernard.
Thank you, Ed. It's good to be here.
Well, I took a long time to introduce you because I wanted people to know that you had the credentials, okay? Now, as you know, the reason for this show was is that I heard a very famous radio DJ out there make the statement that it's okay to compete with steroids. And almost like, it's like you can't compete without steroids. Well, I want you to dispel some of those myths out there. Just tell us, what are some of the myths out there surrounding steroids?
Well, one of them is, especially in young athletes, that you have to have steroids to compete or even have to take steroids to become a professional or Olympic athlete. And in the in Olympic development programs around the United States, including ours in Springfield, Missouri, we currently have 7 or 8 national champions, and one of our athletes is competing internationally. And these kids are drug-free. They're tested regularly by USADA to certify that. And they're competing very successfully without any of the performance-enhancing substances that are in the media. I think the biggest problem we get into is when you, when our young elite athletes hear about professional athletes, especially baseball players who are alleged to have taken anabolic steroids, they, like you were mentioning earlier, the perception is that they have to use these chemicals to get to that level of competition, but they don't realize that depending on your age bracket and your developmental bracket, those chemicals can absolutely have the exact opposite effect. Most notorious one for anabolic steroids is in kids that are only about halfway through their pubertal growth spurt, what we call a 10 or 3. There's a scoring system for puberty as kids grow up. So this is a like a young man whose voice is barely changing. It's about that level. If one of those rascals would take any significant amount of anabolic steroids, you will close their growth plates, resulting in a permanent short stature that cannot be reversed once those growth plates are closed. And the problem we always get into is that that age bracket, if the kids are taking enough of any of these chemicals to have any significant effect, rule of thumb is they are taking enough of these chemicals to have a significant side effect. There is no free ride. But some of those side effects are very detrimental to performance in elite sports, and they're specific to young athletes.
Now, we hear a lot about them having bad side effects. People a lot of times don't deal with the side effects. They always talk about what the steroids have done, and people focus on the performance that comes from it. Now, obviously, it messes up your body, but mega doses obviously may give people faster results, but coming away from that, is it true that people have to actually, in order to maintain those gains, they have to have some type of maintenance program? I guess they call that stacking in some respects.
Stacking is actually usually using multiple drugs in cycling is literally cycling around to try to minimize side effects. We had a weightlifter we cared for in our area that actually more of a bodybuilder, actually was using 16 separate drugs in his cycle to try to get maximize benefits and minimize side effects, and wasn't very successful with that regimen. But in general, a significant part of the gains that you would artificially get with supplementing with anabolic androgenic steroids, you will lose, or at least you will not be able to maintain those without ongoing supplementation, whether it's over-the-counter DHEA, dehydroepiandrosterone, or pharmaceutical-grade steroids, like training. If you don't keep using it, you will lose it.
So is there a vicious cycle once you start to use these steroids?
Yeah. When you define dependency, there's actually sort of two twists you can put on that. One of them is, are your gains in athleticism dependent upon an ongoing cycle of use? And the answer to that is yes, to the degree to which that is true can vary from one individual to the next. It's probably more true in the younger athlete than it is in the mature adult athlete. The second thing is, are these chemicals truly dependent from the psychiatric standpoint? And Dr. Kirk Brower has written extensively on the psychiatric aspects of roid rages and steroid dependency. And Kirk really does feel that these do meet the criteria from the psychiatric standpoint for addiction.
So let's talk a little bit about that. We talked about the psychiatric part of it. So outrageous, severe, aggressive behavior that may result like in violence or fighting or destroying property. Things like with severe mood swings. Is there any hallucinations that come from this?
It can, depending on dosing, and the reason it's difficult to quantitate that is folks have to realize that, especially in younger athletes, with the doses that are being reported in by the professional athletes, we are never going to be able to get permission to do those studies in young athletes to prove or disprove the degree to which hallucinations or any of those other psychiatric effects occur. These things are so prohibitively dangerous. Those studies will never be done. We can only extrapolate from cases where these medicines are being used for medical conditions like Fanconi's anemia and other areas of pediatrics where, unfortunately, we do have to use these medicines, and unfortunately, we do see serious side effects.
So we're talking about stuff like paranoia, anxiety, panic attacks, depression, maybe thoughts of suicide. Because, I mean, we recently saw where the wrestler, this one wrestler who killed his family and at the same time committed suicide.
Yeah. And, again, with ongoing use, how much of that was steroid-dependent in an adult is one discussion. And then you get into what would be the side effects in a young adolescent male, and that's a whole other discussion.
Well, let us walk through a typical scenario here when we come back here from our break. We're going to talk a little bit about how it affects girls versus how it affects males. We understand steroids actually acts like a male hormone, more like a testosterone, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, we're going to come back and talk about that in about 3 minutes here. And how does it affect girls versus boys, and see if we get some different results there. Again, you're listening to the Sports Maverick Show, and we're talking about steroids, and we're coming down to the facts of what are the side effects of using steroids, both as a youngster as well as an adult. And you're hearing it first here at the Sports Maverick Show. We'll be back in 3 minutes. This is Ida Moya, your host.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyer, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PRO-READYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
From the Super Bowl to the World Cup and every major sporting event in between, Front Row with sports travel insider Robert Tuchman will take you on a private ride into the exclusive world of high-end sports travel. Tune in every Thursday at 12 p.m. Eastern as Robert interviews key event organizers as well as star athletes and celebrities who attend these events. That's Thursdays at 12 p.m. Eastern right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host, former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety, Ray Ellis, on the Voice America Sports Channel every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fans' perspective. Ray believes it is the fans that support America's favorite sport, and they should be able to express their opinion about the game with passion. Tune in every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time to Ray Ellis Sports right here on the Voice America Sports Channel. And let's talk football.
We just say it like it is.
And you can too.
Internet Sports Talk Radio.
The Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyer. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. This is Ida Moyer, your host, and you're listening to the Sports Maverick Show, where we redefine the elite athlete by bringing education, athleticism, and community service together. Of course, in our studios tonight, we have with us Dr. Griesman, who is indeed at the forefront of the steroids issue. And he has been there fighting since 1994 and been involved with various different Olympics and being part of the anti-doping committees. Well, again, before we came to our break, we were beginning to get into some of the side effects of steroids and how they actually react differently when it comes to a guy versus a girl. Doctor, just chime in here with me and let's talk about starting off as a teen using steroids. This is something that people are asking me on an email right now. Who would give this child steroids? Where do they come from? Who's supplying these steroids at a teenage?
Well, unfortunately, the steroids, you can get them illicitly across the border, internationally through the Internet. That's unfortunately one way they're coming through. They're provided by adults.
Okay, looks like we lost the doctor. He'll call back in here. Apparently, you know, we were talking about steroids causes bad side effects, and what the doctor was saying earlier is that it really messes up the body, and megadoses do not give a faster result, but using it in cycles is just not safer. So stacking with different drugs can be really dangerous, and even though some of the side effects go away when you stop using steroids, some may not. And what we were talking about here is the different reaction that these male hormone testosterones have on both girls and boys. Now, I guess at the turn of the break here, we talked about acne. Real bad acne usually shows up on the face, parents, and you can look at that. Baldness can result as a result of that. A slowdown of growth in athletes who aren't done growing yet. So there's an increased risk also of ligaments and tendon injuries, which can end your athlete's career for good as well. In addition to that, you may see different things that happen in guys as well. Let's just list some of those things. Steroids use causes the body to produce less testosterone. The result in guys is the testicles shrink. Imagine that, no grandchildren. What else? Low sperm count. Impotence generally can come an inability to get an erection. And guys can grow breast and nipple growth. And here's the downside of it, they could get enlarged prostate, a gland in the penis. Again, you're listening to the Sports Maverick Show, and we're talking about steroids, and we're coming down to the facts of what are the side effects of using steroids, both as a youngster as well as an adult. And you're hearing it first here at the Sports Maverick Show. We'll be back in 3 minutes. This is Ida Moyer, your host.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyer, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PRO-READYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Being a winner takes a little more than just skill and a whole lot more than luck. It takes preparation and having a winning attitude. Indy 500 race car driver and motivational speaker Lynn St. James brings to the Voice America Network that winning attitude. And the Winner's Circle with Lynn St. James airs live every Tuesday afternoon at 12 Pacific Time, 3 Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel. Lynn will share her views on motorsports and women in sports. Lynn's 30-plus year career as a race car driver has taken her around the world and enabled her to meet winners from all walks of life. Join Lynn and her guest as they offer their insight on what it takes to get into the winner's circle, whatever the challenge may be. If you have a desire to learn what it takes to be a winner from winners, or if you want to share your formula for success, tune into In the Winner's Circle with Lynn St. James every Tuesday afternoon at 12 Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyer. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. It's Ida Moyer, and we are here talking about steroids and basically demystifying the actual myth that you have to take steroids to compete. And I have with me Dr. Griesmer, who's been at the forefront of this in the Olympics as well, in terms of his practice as well. Now, Doctor, we were talking about at the break that steroids always causes some kind of bad side effects. Now, steroids act like a male hormone, testosterone. So for boys and girls, this can cause what kind of things that, you know, you can notice that parents can watch for?
Well, actually, again, in both boys and girls, a lot of it has to do with age and developmental stage. But one that we were talking about before the break that is identical in boys and girls is growth arrest. In as short as 6 weeks of fairly high dosing, you can get permanent growth plate arrest, which will cause a permanent height growth arrest in both boys and girls. And it's not very clear whether that boys are more sensitive to that than girls are. There are problems with girls that are unique and are not age-dependent. These chemicals, as you mentioned, they're analogous to testosterone, and they will cause very marked deepening of the voice, thickening of the vocal cords, and very difficult, if not impossible, to reverse. And so after a single run of anabolic steroids in a young lady, they can have a voice that's literally deeper than mine is in the bass range, and that is permanent and irreversible.
Now, what about face and body hair?
Body hair will pretty much be common for both boys and girls. Probably in that one would be worse than the girls. Male pattern baldness would probably be equally true in both boys and girls.
Well, you would actually see baldness as well. Now, I understand that in males that you have the low sperm count and maybe even impotence can actually, you know, happen. And he takes on almost like the characteristics of a girl with breast and nipple growth and maybe even enlarged prostates.
Yes, that's correct. And that's even more so as the kids get older. The problem you get into is that's not ever been resolved is do these products cause birth defects in offspring and, you know, reproductive centers. And the concern is if you're using anabolic androgenic steroids in both boys and girls, they know in males they cause abnormality in sperm morphology. Whether or not these are connected to birth defects, though, has not been very clear. There is a book called Faust Gold, and it was published out of East Germany when the Berlin Wall went down. They got a hold of a lot of the records from the East German training camps. And I know in the former East Germany there is currently ongoing litigation that even in some of the women who were significantly doped during the run-up to the Munich Games especially, their offspring are having significant problems with birth defects, musculoskeletal problems, even years after the doping incidents.
Now, if I'm a parent and I actually have a teen or a college student that may be using steroids, some of the subtle things to look for, headaches, aching joints, muscle cramps, what about nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, is any of that part of it?
Yeah, that can be part of it, and especially, you know, you were referring earlier to stacks and cycling, and a lot of those kids, young adults, if they have multiple drugs in their stack, they can get some fairly significant drug interactions leading to gastrointestinal problems.
Now, we know that as we get into from the teen years and we go to high school, competition gets tougher and tougher and tougher. Now, if you're serious about your sports and your health, you don't need drugs to prove yourself. Instead, you should keep yourself healthy by doing what type of things other than trying to use steroids?
It's effective, what we call ergogenic aids, things that enhance performance, are really basics. And the basics, as in most situations in life, have the most significant effects. Learning how to do a pre-event meal, post-event meal, balanced-based diets. We even look at things like protein shakes, and we don't see too much creatine anymore compared to what we used to. But the rule of thumb that we give our young athletes, especially at the high school levels, is if you don't get the basics down, all the tricks, including anabolic androgenic steroids, don't work very well. If you do get the basics down, those same chemicals are of little incremental gain. And so your chances of improving performance significantly, say at the middle school or high school level with these drugs, is not very likely if you don't get some of the basics down as far as strength training, skills development, attitude, adequate rest, proper nutrition, proper fluid balance.
Now, why does an athlete cheat?
I think a lot of it is perception, is exactly what you had mentioned earlier, perception from professional athletes in the media that you can't get there without use of these, or perception that everybody is doing it, and to stay competitive you have to do it, which is probably far from the truth, and it's more of a myth.
So basically, parents out there, with a doctor saying that it's better, be better safe than sorry. Try to make sure your child is training safely without drugs, eating a healthy diet, getting plenty of rest, setting realistic goals. In other words, something they can be proud of themselves that they can actually reach. Not your goals, but their goals. Getting training, coaching, advice from reliable professionals, playing safely and using protective gear. And also talking to people like their trainers and their conditioning coaches about health and nutrition and how to prevent injuries and gain strength safely. I mean, Doctor, could you add anything else to that list?
Yes, and it gets back to the professional athlete. Bob Costas on a TV program several nights ago made an interesting comment about the controversies embroiled with Barry Bonds, and made one comment that, you know, did anabolic androgenic steroids turn Barry Bonds into Barry Bonds? And the answer is no. He is a very, very, very good athlete with a lot of natural skills. Now, did it ice the cake? And I guess history will prove one way or another on that one. But I think the misconception is that these chemicals in and of themselves can turn your child into a Barry Bonds. There's nothing further from the truth on that.
Well, again, when we go back to the Barry Bonds situation, you know, people are saying that at the time that he's allegedly to have used steroids, that there was no hard, fast rules in baseball. Is that true?
That's true, especially in the minor leagues. They specifically had negotiated that out, that there was not going to be significant drug testing. In fact, that's still the sort of ongoing battle in professional baseball. I think when you look at McGuire, when you look at Bonds and Canseco and all the other gentlemen that were alleged to have used drugs in professional baseball, did they use them while they were playing in the majors? Well, that's one question. But then the second question, even more critical, is did they use them in the minors to get to the majors? And those are those huge jumps in performance in short periods of time that Bob Costas was referring to, and you'll see several in the media sort of cast a jaundiced eye on, yes, they were very good talent athletes, but you can see in their careers where all of a sudden there was almost an unnatural jump in performance. It's really suspicious.
I was speaking to Cliff Johnson, and he has the 3 Yankee pennants, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Cliff Johnson, and he said to me, because he's been on our show many times, he said that he really believes that the baseball parks right now are a piece of crap. He says, and he's actually talked to the commissioner and asked the commissioner, why are these guys hitting so far? And he believes that it has a lot to do with the structure of the parks.
Possibly.
Now, of course, you testified before the Senate committee. What was your take on the issues of steroids in baseball?
They were asking me primarily for my input on the influence of the use in professional baseball on young athletes. And it was exactly your point at the beginning of the show, is the perception that to get to the majors, you have to use these chemicals. And I think that was actually my spin on it. That's not necessarily true. There's a myth there that kids need to understand very clearly, that the biggest thing that may deter them or derail a career in the majors is early use of these chemicals. But I was not in the fray, if you will, on the discussion of who did it and when they did it and how much did they use. Mine was pretty much in that professional baseball hearings, McCain and Dorgan hearings were related to the influence on youth.
Now, obviously, our past Olympics, we had a few sour notes there.
Yes.
That people actually were using, you know, the steroids. A lot of people claim that they didn't know. That's always the first offense. They didn't know they were using it. Now, explain that a little bit, because we have a case in the NFL, a gentleman who just recently joined the Chicago Bears, and he's been suspended now for 4 games.
Yes.
And he said that he did not know that that's what he was using.
Yes. C.J. Hunter, Marion Jones' ex-husband, was...
Well, they come to mind in terms of the Olympics, of course.
Right. You have a couple problems, and this gets into the whole discussion of dietary supplements and how safe are they. Under DSHEA, the Dietary Health and Education Act of 1994, a lot of dietary supplements were pulled from federal scrutiny from the Food and Drug Administration, and FDA has very little control over content. And Don Catlin at the UCLA lab, Olympic lab in California, tested, as have several labs in Europe, just a whole sampling of dietary supplements. And 0.8% in the Catlin study tested positive for methyltestosterone. And 10 to 15% of those products will cause one of my young Olympic hopefuls to test positive for something, either a stimulant or something. So, and up to 75 all the way into 90% of products were mislabeled. There's something in the product that's not in the label. There's something on the label that's not in the product, or the percents are wrong. So there's been a call out from many healthcare professionals to get the folks who manufacture dietary supplements to clean that whole issue up. So when you hear of a professional athlete who said, well, I was taking a dietary supplement, and that's probably where I got my steroid positive test. There may be some truth to that. The bad news is, for the athlete, is the presence of those chemicals in your system during competition is prohibited, and you take those products at your own risk. Every Olympic athlete is informed in writing and verbally that you take these products at your own risk. Not only do we not guarantee them, nobody guarantees them that they're drug-free. The International Olympic Committee Medical Commission is not really too concerned whether your coach gave you the wrong stuff or your doctor gave you the wrong stuff. The rules are very clear. Competing with those substances in your system is banned.
So let's talk about the responsibility of the athlete. is there a way the athlete can come and ask, is that on the list? I know that the NFL has a list. And if an athlete on the NFL thinks that something is not right or have a question about it, that they can actually go to the medical doctor within that particular team, the team doctor, and ask them if that is prohibited. What kind of structure do they have in the Olympics particularly that prohibits those kind of things?
At the Olympic level, the United States Anti-Doping Agency spends considerable time and effort helping athletes wind their way through lists of prohibited substances and which products they can take and which products they can't take. Jeff Pedraza, one of the PharmDs, has worked, devoted a significant portion of his entire career on that very issue. It's a constantly changing list, and for an Olympic athlete, if they're registered with their national governing body or a federation, sports federation, they usually have access to those hotline numbers. The NFL level, Dr. Lawrence Brown, for decades has been working on that issue. And, again, they're constantly, as you can well know, if you walk through a supplement store, the new products are constantly coming on the market is a big challenge to helping athletes wade through that as far as what contains prohibited substances. But the bottom line is athletes take them at their own risk from the standpoint of doping control.
So sometimes they're looking more for the glory versus taking the precaution. Now, I just got an email and they're asking me, do you tend to see more of the steroids used in the Olympics at the United States level or do you see it in the European level, in Russia? I guess this is an old question.
Yeah, and I think historically it would be yes in Europe. Unfortunately, it's like a little Dutch person with his fingers in the leaking water dike in Europe. Little spot fires pop up all the way around the world. China was obviously an area that we were concerned about several years ago. I don't know. It's not as pervasive. The vast majority of our athletes competing at the professional level and the Olympic level are clean. I firmly believe that. And those are the people we look up to and we value. But as far as is it clustered by country, is it clustered by sport, I think that's even sort of a moving target. It sort of depends on which year.
So it can vary from country and vary from sport as well.
And year to year to year, that's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
You're exactly right.
So in other words, now they're saying, everybody's asking the question, are people using steroids in golf? So they beat up baseball. They've got it in the NFL, they think, and then they're now running off to golf to ask the question, is it in golf? Well, the person who's been at the top of that leaderboard has been Tiger Woods.
Uh-huh.
And, he was one of the first athletes that actually started doing training and conditioning in golf.
Right.
He brought that to golf. So, evidently that's not sacred either, is it?
I think pretty much any sport could be questioned. You really would wonder, as golf has become more of an endurance sport and with these four-day tournaments, whether or not anabolic antigenic steroids would have much benefit in that particular sport. And again, in brief, explosive power sports like weightlifting, the first half of or first quarter of a football game, for example, those are power sports, but the second half of a football game, the second half of a soccer game, the second half of a basketball game, the third, fourth day of a golf tournament, those are endurance sports. And any potential pop you get from anabolic steroids, especially in a young athlete, early on, could really cause a performance deterioration as those events and tournament progress.
So in other words, it literally can turn the clock back on you because your inability to be able to maintain the same, I guess it's sort of like it's like a flash in the pants, and all of a sudden you just kind of dissipate.
Well, for example, in USA weightlifting, that's essentially a two-minute sport. Our national champion, they call his name, he has about 2 minutes to get out on the platform, throw those weights up, wait for the lights to turn white or green, drop it. Who won? It's a 2-minute sport. You do 6 repetitions. But if you get into any of these other sports, especially in a young athlete, you're going to be on about 22 to 25 minutes of sustained play. That's an endurance sport in a young athlete. And that's one of the reasons I think they see, even in products like creatine, which is a methylguanidine acetic acid product, that early on you might have a pop, but it shows performance deterioration in endurance sports.
Okay, so what you're saying is that it's almost like a phantom. It comes and it goes.
Yes.
Which means that it absolutely has no guarantees to be an absolute safe product. We know it's not safe. It's not going to be anything that's going to give you some magical boost in something that you're doing. And so, therefore, I think the argument really is fair to say here is that, you know, just because a person is performing well does not mean they're using steroids.
That's correct.
You know, so there's a lot of other things people can do to perform well. But obviously, you know, that may be the first thing because of the perceptions right now. That very well may be the first thing
True.
That people charge. So,
that's right.
Okay, we're going to go into another break here. This is Ida Moya, your host. You're listening to the Sports Maverick, and we are talking about steroids and the side effects as well as its inability to be the actually all in all for you to reach your goals in sports. In fact, it literally may be the very thing that will destroy your goals in sports. We'll be back in 3 minutes. This is Ida Moya, your host.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moye, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new 5-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host, former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety Ray Ellis on the Voice America Sports Channel every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fans' perspective. Ray believes that it is the fans that support America's favorite sport, and they should be able to express their opinion about the game with passion. Tune in every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time to Ray Ellis Sports, right here on the Voice America Sports Channel, and let's talk football. Here it is, sports fans, the Arthur Agee Sports Radio Show, where we talk about sports and everything in between, from high school to college sports, right up to the pros. Join host Arthur Agee, co-star of the 1994 sports documentary, Hoop Dreams, for the Arthur Agee Sports Radio Show every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 Eastern, premiering on the Voice America Sports Channel. Arthur will host a variety of guests and will give the average fan a platform to voice his or her opinion about how sports play a significant role in our society. Get set for hard-hitting topics that cut to the soul of sports. See the sports industry through the eyes of the kid in the city and the kid in the suburbs. Hear from the businessmen and, yes, women from around the world. Whatever your passion is, football, basketball, baseball, golf, soccer, NASCAR, or hockey, the Arthur Agee Sports Radio Show is for you. That's every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyer. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Mavericks Show. It's Ida Moyer. I'm your host, and we are with Dr. Griesmer and Ashley Bowman, who is from the University of Florida, the Compliance Department. And we're talking about steroids and the use of steroids in sports and demystifying some of these myths out there that you have to use steroids to compete. In fact, by using steroids, you may not even be able to compete. In other words, you may have a start that's a very fast start and a very, 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 very slow ending on this. Welcome Ashley to the show. And Ashley, one of our emails here are asking us about how does the college level approach looking for the use of steroids in college to make sure there's no violation in that?
Well, they are drug tested, and we say that the institution and the student athlete is held accountable for all drugs that are banned. So if they're not sure if it's something that's banned, if they walk into GNC and purchase a product, we ask that they take that straight to the trainer or to the team nutritionist and let them tell them first, because just looking at the ingredients, sometimes a student athlete would not know if that's something that's banned. So we have had athletes in the past have taken something from GNC and have failed the drug test. So if there's anything in question, they should definitely take it to their team trainer, team doctor, or the nutritionist before they put anything inside their body.
Now, Ashley, when an athlete comes to the University of Florida, are they given some type of manual with instructions and guidelines or what to follow? Because if that's the case, the parents should know. Their kids should read that.
Yes, they are given some paperwork, and, you know, I work in a completely different department, so I'm not exactly sure what they're given, but, you know, they have meetings with the team doctors and the team trainers and the nutritionists. And, you know, and then we have team meetings with them stating, do not take anything unless you know what's in it and it's been cleared.
So are there any hard and fast rules that a kid should follow in terms of a person that they would go to?
Definitely their team trainer or the team coach or anyone that works in the training room. Definitely they could also go to the head coach, but I think that the team trainer and the team doctor will know more information about what's banned and what's not banned.
So let's juxtapose, you know, kids are getting ready to come to college. They want to make sure they're in good shape, and they go out to a local gym, and that gym is telling them, you know, drink these shakes, do this, do that, do this, do this. When they get to college, they're tested right away, I'm assuming.
Yes, definitely. Before they start working out, we want to make sure that, you know, that they're in the best possible shape and that they're not going to go out on the field and have something happen to them. So I did see something the other day where Dr. Griesmer, I heard that they're going to start drug testing football players in high school.
Yes, in fact, that's rather controversial. And primarily, it's controversial because it's not really clear how effective it is. You know, if you get up in an adult-level NCAA, you theoretically are dealing with fairly bright people. Sometimes we question that. But when you get down to high school level, there's whole issues of can a young person consent to drug testing? Are they doing it right? And let me give you one brief example of that in our area. We were talking to the athletic directors in the state of Missouri about drug testing programs at the high school level, and very, very few of them, in fact, I can only think of one or two, they were actually testing for anabolic androgenic steroids, which is the topic of this conversation this evening. Most of the folks, most of the school systems are testing what we call the MoDOT, Missouri Department of Transportation panel, which is narcotic derivatives, methamphetamine, which is a very effective performance-enhancing substance. It's very dangerous. But the parents think they're testing for alcohol and cigarettes, which they aren't. They're testing for the same things that truck drivers would take. Well, here's the problem with that. If you're testing for cannabinoids, marijuana, narcotics, and opiate derivatives, those are not performance-enhancing substances. If you're not testing for performance-enhancing substances, why are you just testing the athletes? You ought to be testing everybody. And, in fact, I think some of the schools are actually going more that direction. It is prohibitively expensive, Ashley. As you know, you can look at the budget the University of Florida commits to drug testing. This stuff is testing for antibiotic androgenic steroids in a young athlete is not cheap.
Well, what's the cost involved and what's
process? If you want to test a young athlete to international Olympic standards, which we do because some of our young athletes are competing at that level, you're sending out a certified doping control officer and witness sample collection, urine, blood, or blood alcohol if they're a shooter or archery specialist, processing full panel, goodness, hundreds if not $1,000 per test.
Hmm, interesting.
Ashley, you deal with this with Frank Urias and the drug-free sport, I guess, with the, if he still does the testing. You know, they swing full teams into the University of Florida for compliance, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Now, the school tests as well as the independents, is that correct, Ashley?
Yes, not only do we test the University Athletic Association tests, but the NCAA also drug tests our student-athletes, too. And if they are not over, if they're under the age of 18, we have to send a consent form to their parents.
So is it possible, doctor, for kids still to cheat even though you have that kind of rigid testing going on? I know some of them is actually spontaneous. They'll just say, okay, at 6 o'clock in the morning you're going to be tested.
As you move up the ladder, and again it has to do with age and level of testing, you get to Ashley's level where she's working compliance, University of Florida. It's hard to slip past that system. You get into the Olympic level, which is even, you know, some young athletes competing at the national junior levels. They're tested. If you're coming under a United States anti-doping scrutiny, full panel testing or out of competition testing, it's very, very difficult to get past that. You almost have to have the expertise of a BALCO, Bay Area Lab Cooperative, behind you to sneak past that with some very sophisticated technology like tetrahydrogesterone, THD scandal.
Wow. Well, in other words, what you're saying that
no,
it may be lenient at the high school level. Because of the fact that, you know, they don't have the staff, nor do they have the money to afford to be able to do that testing. But when you actually are one of the successful ones to move to the next level, then you're really getting under some high scrutiny.
Yeah.
Because number one is, you're not only going to be tested by one organization, you're going to be tested by both organizations,
yeah,
both NCAA and also the school itself will test you.
Yeah.
So, and also in the Olympics, of course, you're really getting in some very sophisticated drug testing there as well. But
correct,
we know people still fall through the cracks and people are always looking to cheat. So, doctor, as we begin to go out to our closing, our show out here, I'd like for you to just speak to our athletes and our parents out there and just tell them what's important and what should they be trying to do in terms of avoiding steroids at all costs.
We spend about 95% of our time at the Olympic Development Program here in Springfield, Missouri, not telling athletes about the side effects of medicines, because when you talk about anabolic androgenic steroids, there is one or two things we can tell you that are absolutely true. We cannot guarantee whether these medicines or these drugs will help you at all, but we can certainly guarantee you that the side effects are going to be there. That's the one given. But 95% of the time, we spent most of our time on what does work: skills development, attitude, training, conditioning, nutrition. Those are where you're going to get your biggest gains, and those are going to be the things that take you to the level where Ashley is talking about, like the University of Florida. Your chances of drugs are going to get you there, That's a myth. It's just not going to happen.
Well, folks, you're hearing it here on Sports Maverick. We have demystified this. You do not have to take steroids to compete. If you follow a regular regimen program of good nutrition, you know, healthy diet, you know, strength and conditioning, doing the hard work, not taking any shortcuts, getting in that gym, pumping that iron, following a goals that you set for yourself both on and off the field, and that's where success comes from. Not only are you going to be proud of that success, you know, others are going to be proud of you working so hard and having such a great work ethic. Doctor, I want to thank you tonight for gracing our stage here and talking about this very sensitive subject matter. And Ashley, thank you so much for joining us and talking again about what great work University of Florida is doing there with those Gators. Again, this is Ida Moya, your host, and you're listening to the Sports Maverick Show. We'll see you next week on Tuesday, where we'll be talking about the real NBA. Again, have a good night. And again, remember, hug that athlete, win or lose. Good night, folks.
Thank you for joining Ida Moya and the Sports Maverick Show. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. If you have a question or a story you'd like to share with Ida, you can email her at sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.